Back in the old days, they would say, do not change the channel, do not adjust your picture. This is as good as it gets. You're not seeing things. This is not Thursday night. I really believe the only bad spot to preach on a conference is the one that's not given to you. It's a blessing and a privilege and an awesome responsibility to be called upon to bring the Word of God, stand in this pulpit of our dear brother, this church, and we take it very seriously, and we thank the Lord for this great privilege and invitation that has been given us. Let's take our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 16. We want to read verse 13 to verse number 20. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I trust it is familiar with all. It's a blessed, blessed passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, the other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want to draw your attention particularly tonight to verse number 17. Whereas the Lord questions the apostles about who people were saying he was or thought he was, and then ask them who they thought he was, what they had on their heart, Simon Peter gives a glorious answer in verse number 16. We like to run Peter down the road. As we heard recently at services in our own church, we need to be careful about that because we'd probably do the same things Peter did. Amen. By the grace of God, though, Peter was raised to be a great apostle, a great servant of the Lord. Amen. And he certainly gets the answer right here in verse number 16. And in response to his answer, Jesus Christ says in verse number 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The word blessed here means blessed, fortunate. Believe it or not, it also means happy. When the Bible says, blessed is this one and blessed is that one, that's usually the meaning. Happy is the one. And Jesus Christ declares here, as Peter gives this answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. His response to Peter is, blessed, fortunate, happy are you. Not because he got the answer right, But happy and blessed and fortunate are you because my Father hath revealed this to you. Oh, to have truth revealed to us. Lowly sinners saved by grace is not cause for anger. It's not cause to be mad. It's not cause to be sad. It's not cause to be walking around like we have the greatest burden in the world upon our shoulders. But to understand any of God's great truths is cause to be happy.
Amen.
To rejoice. To see it as a great blessing. Happy art thou, because my Father which is in heaven, hath revealed this to you. Notice over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. Verse 21 and 22. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Notice in verse number 21 here, that first of all, Jesus rejoiced. Jesus is rejoicing over what the Father had been pleased to reveal to these saints that he's talking about here. In this passage of Scripture, he's rejoicing and he's giving thanks to the Father for revealing to these things that the wise and the prudent of the world didn't see, couldn't see. Jesus is praising the Father and rejoicing that things, according to God's will, had been revealed unto these. And he declares in verse number 21, the last part of the verse, that God had revealed it unto these, and he rejoiced in God's revealing it unto these. And he tells us the reason God revealed it. Because it seemed good to God.
Amen.
That's the answer to everything.
Amen.
Why'd God save my unworthy soul? There's no puzzle there. Because it pleased him. It was according to his will. He took pleasure in it. I can't understand that. I can't understand why he'd save anybody here tonight.
You're right.
I don't think there's if all of our goodnesses and all of our righteousnesses were put together into one person, I wouldn't be able to understand why God.
You're right.
There would be no reason or worth. But it, just because it pleases him. And certainly this reveals to us the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
He does as he pleases.
Amen.
And it has pleased him to reveal truth unto his people.
Amen.
And to have truth revealed to us, saints of the Lord, is cause for joy.
Amen.
Oh, may this conference, where I hope and I pray and I believe most all of us here are like precious faith. Oh, may we be reminded that this isn't a cause for sadness or grief, but what we believe God has revealed to us, and that's cause for great rejoicing. May we be challenged, and may God speak to us during the course of these services to rejoice in what we know, to rejoice in what He's revealed unto us. Because there's folks much smarter than us, much more intelligent than us, much more educated than us, that won't get anything that's going to be preached during the course of this conference.
You're right.
Don't get any of the great doctrines that God has revealed to us through His church. But He's revealed them to us. Oh, what a joyous thing it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have a whole chapter here that really deals with this thought. And we'll just read it through and skim quickly and trust that you would consider this chapter in light of this theme and subject tonight when you have time. Paul declares in the first few verses here that when he came to Corinth, he didn't come with fancy speeches, he didn't come with flowering words, he didn't come with a big vocabulary trying to impress people. He just came in the simplicity of preaching the Word of God and relying upon the Spirit of God to make it effectual. He just came preaching that which God gave him, which to those that he preached was a great mystery. Trusting God to be pleased to reveal it. And he says in verse number 5, this is so that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men. Not that he had convinced anybody or talked anybody into anything.
Right.
He wanted their faith, their confidence to be in God.
Amen.
Not in him. Not in a preacher. Not in the ability to speak. Howbeit we speak wisdom, verse 6, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
Amen.
So many times we read that verse and we read up to that point and we quit. But we miss that although he's talking about a great mystery and he's talking about things even that are yet future and that are hidden from the masses and certainly the minds of the world. Notice what he reminds us of in verse 10. But God.
Amen.
But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Oh, what God has revealed unto us.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. That the masses don't get. Folks, there are things that the Lord has revealed unto us because we're blessed and privileged to be members of New Testament Baptist churches.
Amen.
That people who are Christians, truly saved in the world, can never get. Because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of truth.
Amen.
And we understand so many things, and God has given us so many things, just using the term very carefully, that Christianity in general, they don't get.
You're right.
They don't see it. They stumble at it. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Just about all that's going to be preached and taught from this pulpit during this conference is foolishness to the world.
Right.
Foolishness to all the other assemblies in this area. I'm sure Home Baptist Church already has a reputation of being a bunch of nuts and crazies.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about this church. I know a little bit about your pastor before. I know what he preached. I know what Brother Gordon preaches. The world doesn't get this stuff. It's foolishness to them. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yea, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Oh, what a statement this chapter closes with. But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ. Let's go back to our text passage of Matthew 16. I figure since the Lord has placed me first on the schedule, I might as well just preach everything. Because everybody else on the schedule is going to be worried and fretting. Hope he didn't get on mine. Don't hope he don't preach on mine. When you're preaching Thursday night, you go through a lot of that misery. So I figured, by the grace of God, we'll just preach it all so everybody can get that burden off and just preach what the Lord's given you. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter, in response to Christ's question, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter says about Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
Oh, what a joy. What a rejoicing of the heart it is to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
We know who Christ is.
Amen.
We know all the particulars of Christ that made him the sacrifice of God for our sins. And we hold to things that the world despises about him, that they reject about him, that the learned and the educated write books to defame about him. Thou art the Christ.
Amen.
I know that you are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One. Oh, the joy of being able to know Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Sent One, the Anointed One.
Amen.
Came down to die for His people.
Amen.
Not to try and save them.
Amen.
But come down to die for His people to save them.
Amen.
When He cried out, it was finished. It was finished.
Amen.
He had done that which the Father had sent Him to do.
Amen.
Oh, we understand these things. Thou art Christ. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Virgin born. Thou art God in the flesh. Not just a good man in a bad situation, but God became man.
Amen.
The cornerstone, the foundation of the church, the Savior. Oh, the joy of knowing who Jesus is and all the particulars about our precious Savior. It ought to cause our heart to rejoice, not sorrow. When the world gets mad and the world mocks and laughs at us because we believe what the Bible plainly tells us about Jesus, don't let it grieve you. Don't let it break your heart or beat you up because you're not liked or they're saying bad things about you. Rejoice that by the grace of God, through the working of the Spirit of God, you know who Christ is. And we know who Christ is. After answering, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Christ praising Him and saying, "Blessed, happy, blessed are you, because God has revealed this unto you." He goes into verse number 18. To say that thou art Peter, a small stone, and upon this rock, upon myself, this foundational rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a joy it is to understand the truth of God's church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates Baptists. They think we're Johnny come lately. They think we were at the tail end of the Reformation period. But folks, the Lord started this kind of church during His personal ministry. It didn't start on Pentecost, but He started His kind of a church, not in Matthew chapter 16, but He started His church when He called those apostles unto Himself and set them first in the church. And the church was already in existence when we get to this passage of Scripture, and already in existence when we get to Pentecost. And the majority of Christianity can't see that, refuses to see that. Here we set us ignorant Baptists who actually believe we're the church that Jesus Christ started.
Amen.
Well, ignorance is bliss. Ignorant is bliss. Church was built by Jesus Christ. The church rests upon Jesus Christ. The church is headed by Jesus Christ. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is preserved by Him.
Amen.
The gates of hell, the gates of death shall not prevail against my kind of church. In over 2,000 years now, the Lord's true church can still be found.
Amen.
And the Lord's church will still be found when He comes to take her.
Amen.
And it could be at any moment.
Yes.
And we need to understand it's at any moment.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, unto God be glory in the church. Now that's the universal body of all the saved. You won't find that taught in Scripture. But those who see that it's not taught in Scripture are those who God has blessed. Because you can read this passage of Scripture to someone who hasn't had it revealed to them by God, and you can read it, and you can read it, and you can read it. You can read every verse in the New Testament that has to do with the Lord's church, and they're still going to look at you blankly, and they're still going to give that ignorant stare, and they're still going to think you're crazy. But what a joy it is to know that the Lord started His kind of a church and He promised it continued existence and perpetuity. It's still around today.
Amen.
Catholicism came around 300 years too late.
Amen.
And the Reformers came around even later than that. And from the time of Christ through all that time when Catholicism raised up and the Lord's church during all the time that the Reformers and all of them came along, the Lord's church was always there.
Amen.
And I do not have any qualms or do I apologize for saying that that's a Baptist church.
Amen.
It was started with material started by John the Baptist, and from those prepared by John the Baptist and baptized by John the Baptist, God had Jesus Christ call them out and establish His church. And you can study the great history of the Lord's church through the book of Acts. And it just seems so plain. How can other people not see it? Because it's not been revealed to
them.
So should we be mad? Because the Lord has revealed to us the church. The Lord's church that in this conference, many of this kind of a church, like the Church of Jerusalem, are represented here. Should we be mad? No, I say we should rejoice.
Amen.
Because it is the Lord who adds unto the church as it pleases Him.
That's right.
Comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Why is Randy Titus a member of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio? Not because I'm smarter than anybody else. Why in the world, if it was because of my intelligence, would I end up in a place called Wasio? Especially considering the fact that I was born and raised in Michigan. If it was up to my intelligence, why in the world would I end up in Ohio? But that's where the Lord's had me for the last 27 years. And I'm there because it pleased Him.
Amen.
And I'm so blessed to be a member of the Lord's assembly at Wauseon, Ohio.
Amen.
It's because of His blessing me.
Amen.
Because it pleased Him. As pastor, I try to never forget I'm a member.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Not any better, not superior. I'm blessed to be a member of one of the Lord's true New Testament Baptist churches. And that ought to be a cause of great rejoicing.
Amen.
I find a great blessing when I look at Christ saying, the gates of hell here, the gates of death. Death will not rise up against his church and prevail. I find great blessing when I go down here into verse number 21. And after he speaks these words to his church about existence and perpetuity and the gates of death not rising up and defeating his church and his kind of church, he began, verse 21, from that time forward to teach unto his disciples how that he was going to suffer many things of the chiefs and the priests and the scribes, and he's going to be killed. But he didn't stop there, did he? Rise again. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to die. But death cannot hold me. Death cannot keep me. I will rise again. And I find in verse number 21 great encouragement, great connection with what he's telling the church there in verse number 18. Death cannot prevail against the Lord's kind of a church because Christ has prevailed over death. And when Jesus Christ returns again, I don't know how many, but I know his kind of church will still be here. I don't know how many here may not be contending for the faith a year from now if we're still here.
That's right.
But I know there'll be some.
Amen.
Because he's promised it. It's sure. In Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. A while back, I preached a series of 7 messages on the subject of grace, all from the testimony and the record of Lydia here. Lydia, studying grace. Oh, to have an understanding of God's amazing grace. Oh, to understand the great doctrines and the great truths that are found in Scripture that are a part of God's grace. Those truths that are so offensive to the multitudes, what a joy it is to understand them.
Amen.
In Lydia, we see a woman who is dead in her trespasses and sins. We see a woman whose heart is closed, even to the preaching of the Apostle Paul. She's closed. It goes one ear and out the other. She listened to what he said. But she was a dead, depraved sinner.
Amen.
And nothing was going to change that. No sinner can change their own spots. No sinner can save themselves. Nobody can work their way into God's good graces. All are dead in their trespasses and sins. It's called depravity. Lydia was a depraved sinner. But I believe she was an elect of God. A certain woman. There were other women there.
That's right.
Certainly there was other people there. You study the background of Lydia and where she came from, where Paul wanted to go to, and you look at how God worked in having Lydia where she was, selling her goods there in that city, going out to worship according to the Jews' religion, though she was a Gentile, going out there to worship on the Sabbath according to the Jews' religion. She was a religious woman, though dead in her trespasses and sins. And God had her there, and God brought Paul there.
Amen. Amen.
Because she was one of God's chosen elect ones.
Right.
I was a 9-year-old boy back in 1968 when the Lord saved my soul. And I was a dead, depraved sinner. Not deserving, nor would I ever deserve or earn any hope of understanding or enlightenment or salvation. And he came to me.
Amen.
And I know now he came to me because he had chosen me before the foundation of the world. All election, that's that bad word. That's that thing. Baptists want to say, well, we believe it. But let's not talk about it too much. It's not a grievous thing to understand that God has a chosen people and that God chose them to salvation since the foundation of the world. In all of eternity, he had a purpose to save them. That ought to cause our heart to rejoice, not be offended.
Amen.
He included me.
Amen.
I didn't include myself. Praise God. If you've judged me, if you've judged me to truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to really believe that he died for me, let me take you into my home, care for you. You look at this passage of Scripture. The Lord opened her heart. She attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. What do you think Paul preached? A social gospel?
Amen.
Prosperity gospel? Easy believism? He preached Jesus. Everywhere he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when God opened her heart, God saved her, and God revealed to her that Jesus Christ, his Son, died for her.
Amen.
It didn't matter who else was there.
Amen.
I got a book. Some of you may have got it, so I better be careful. But I got a book from a missionary on missions, and big, thick book. Read it and read it. This is good. This is good. Really. I agree with this. I agree with this. Until I came to this portion of Scripture, or this portion of the book, where he said that limited atonement just is wrong. Can't be true. Particular redemption somehow negatively affects mission work. And folks, Lydia was saved because although she was a dead, depraved sinner, lost in her sins, God had chosen her salvation. And guess what? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he wasn't writing a blank check. He died upon the cross for those the Father had given him. He died upon the cross for Lydia. And God opened her heart to understand that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died for her. He knew. She knew it was for her. If you're here and you're truly saved, that's what your salvation is all about. Lost, dead in your sins. Not coming, not searching, not looking. But God opening your heart to show you that he had chosen you. That he sent his Son to die for you. I love the song. It's kind of old now, back in the 80s maybe. But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
He knew me. He knew Lydia. God opened her heart. And Lydia tried the best she could to resist. She fought it and she fought it. God saved her against her will. God drug her down the aisle there by that river, kicking and screaming. No, on the day of the Lord's power,
Amen.
Lydia was willing.
Amen.
Lydia was desiring it. I see in the fact that she attended, heeded unto the things which were preached by the Apostle Paul. She was baptized, publicly declaring her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the apostles into her house. And even when this chapter ends, after they have had this great scene of persecution, they've returned back and they're still staying at Lydia's house. I see in the story of Lydia a perseverance and a continuing. Not just a, I believe, and never seeing them again. I don't want to go to hell kind of religion. But God opened her heart.
Amen.
She persevered, I believe. As all saints persevere. And they persevere because we're preserved.
Amen.
in Christ. The same book I was referencing, Man Has a Problem with the Sovereignty of God. He states in this book that sovereignty only simply means absolute power. But it doesn't really mean God has control of every situation and every detail. He's blinded. I'm sure he's saved. Listen to reading the other things I've read. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, he's got a major blindness if he doesn't understand that the sovereignty of God means God is in control of every situation and every detail of every situation and every little detail of my life that has been working, enabling me to be here tonight is because of a sovereign God in control of it all. And no accidents. No happenstance. And that ought to cause us to rejoice that God is sovereign. I do believe saying sovereign grace is like saying wet water, but and saying God is sovereign is like the same thing. If God is God, he has to be. And that doesn't trouble my heart, and it shouldn't trouble us. We ought to rejoice. God is in control. In our passage there from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he talks about eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's not entered into the man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. He goes right on to say there in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us.
Amen.
Oh, what's going to happen next, folks? This world's a mess, and this country of ours is in a bigger mess. A bigger mess because we have fallen so far, we have left God.
Yeah.
We have left the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation where we were once so used of God and instrumental in the preaching of the gospel around the world. We've just gone so far into the place where I just have to believe God's given us over. And his judgment is being revealed, but I believe it's going to be even more revealed. What's going to happen next? You better check with Jack Van Impe.
Yeah.
No. That's old. That's outdated. Let's check with Perry Stone. Isn't the Perry Stone the guy has the whiskers kind of like Brother Collins there? Isn't the Perry Stone? That guy's a nut. Actually, a church member bring me some of his CDs. Want me to listen to him. He's good. No, thank you. I know what's going to happen next. Lord's coming, folks. How do I know that? How do you know that? God has revealed unto us. Jesus Christ, during his life, and all through the Old Testament, the return of Christ was laid out before us. And we know it. We can see it. Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yeah.
And when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to rapture his people out of here. And there's going to be a terrible time upon this earth called tribulation period. Called a tribulation period. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes, you're going to be left. I know that. Not because I dreamt it up and not because I take any joy in that at all, because I don't. Take joy in thinking about sinners being left here for the tribulation. But I know it's true, and I joy that God has revealed it to me. I won't be here. I'm not stockpiling food. Not stockpiling arms. Because I'm going to be out of here. Folks, there's going to come a 1,000-year period when Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign.
Amen.
We're going to rule and reign with him. I know that. It's been revealed to me from his word. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us to take comfort in that. Take comfort in the coming of Christ, our gathering unto him. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? God has not revealed unto you your sin, if God has not revealed unto you your need of Jesus Christ, if God has not saved your soul, you're lost in your sins, you can't see all of these things, I pray God would be pleased to open your eyes, open your heart like He did Lydia.
Amen.
To see that these things are so. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Be ready. I got to quit. Romans. Famous last words, right? Preacher says we're going to close, we're going to quit, and then he goes to another verse. Sorry. This is important. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Listen to the glory being given to God here. Not the man, but to God. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? Who has ever given God something first? No one. Who has ever initiated anything with God? No one. Because in verse number 36, for of Him, God is the source of all things, and through Him, God is the cause of all things, and to Him, everything and all things are to the glory of God.
Amen.
And God has revealed that unto me. I hope He's revealed that to all of us. Everything is about the glory of God.
Amen.
Seeking the salvation of lost sinners is not the chief end. Bringing glory to God is the chief end.
Amen.
The Lord's church and multiplying and in our mission work seeing new churches started. That's not the ultimate end. In all that we do in the church, the ultimate end is bringing glory to God in the preaching of God's Word and seeking the salvation of the lost. It's not so we can baptize and put numbers on a tote board, but so that God can be glorified. When we protect the ordinances of the church and we keep those things precious and we keep those things pure, it's not for the exaltation of the ordinances or the church, but for the glory of God. When we preach the doctrines of grace, and we exercise our faith under those beliefs,
amen,
it's for the glory of God. Amen. Everything we do in word or deed, 1 Corinthians says in chapter 10, let it be for the glory of God. Oh, that God would reveal unto us.
Amen.
If it hasn't been, everything we do needs to be to the glory of God.
Amen.
When you start looking at all the things that are going on, you realize some people don't get that. Because there are a lot of things going on that bring glory to man, that exalt this one or exalt that one. But I tell you what, if God would really help us all to really have an understanding that everything we do in our lives, in our homes, in our families, everything we do in the church where the Lord has placed us, let it be to the glory of God.
Amen.
That'll do away with all the monkey business.
Amen.
That'll do with all the church strife and the church problems. That'll do away with all the fussing and the fightings. And that'll do away with all the wars between husbands and wives and the rebellion of children. If we'll get it in our heads, if God would really get us to have a hold of that, it's all to the glory of God. All will be well.
Amen.
Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, Peter, because God revealed it to you. Rejoice in the truth that God has revealed to you. Don't carry it like a great burden.
Amen.
And if you hear, and these things are all Greek to you, as the saying goes, our prayer is that God would give you understanding. I believe He's still doing that.
Amen.
He can do that tonight.
Amen.
He could save the worst sinner here who's never seen Christ, who's persecuted Christ in the church. He can save the worst one here if He'd be pleased to. He could save you if He chooses to.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how hard you fought against these things. The Spirit of God opens your heart to them. You might find yourself one of these days saying amen,
amen,
to the very same things you say oh me to. Rejoice.
Amen.
God has so blessed us.
Amen.